So my brother Brett never meets a stranger. He's my older brother, and in my mind is a very, very great image of humility, of a humble man. I remember in his younger adult years, he lived in an old home on the edge of Ames, excuse me, and there was like some woods behind it, and there was a homeless man that lived in the woods. And I can't remember the nickname that he went by, but Brett would do anything he could he befriended him, of course, and would do anything he could to care for him and love him. Beyond that, his wife and I were talking this winter once about Brett and how he has this series of people he calls whenever he's making either a big decision or working on a writing project or just processing through something. He is never too proud to ask for another person's opinion. And he knows those that he respects and will cling to. And so he has this list of people that he always reaches out to. It's my brother, Brett. He's a very cool guy. If you haven't met him, I hope you get the opportunity one day. But today we're going to look in 2 Kings, and we're going to meet a man named Naaman. So if you want to turn there, 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to meet a man named Naaman, and he is a commander-in-chief of an army, and he is a man of great stature. And so we're going to learn about him and a servant girl and a few other people. So let's read together from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. This is the word of God for the people of God. And all God's people said, Amen. So, Naaman thought very highly of himself. I hope you got that in this scripture, because he's been given this opportunity to be cleansed, and it wasn't the right way. It wasn't something that was good enough for his high position. Because the water Jordan River was smaller maybe and dirtier and maybe just not as great as the two other rivers that he named. Couldn't he be washed in another place? Now he had to be humbled a little bit in order to even go to Israel, because as the commander-in-chief of the army, they had defeated Israel at least once at this point. But notice how he has his king write a letter to the other king demanding his health and healing. I mean, how would you feel if you received a letter that said you must cure someone? We are not God. But there's this servant girl the servant girl who actually cares for Naaman's wife, and she has been captured, and that is why she's a servant. She's a slave, essentially. But she says, if only my Lord, if only Naaman would go to the prophet in Israel, then he could be cured. She isn't too proud to look out for the better interest of the other people. She's paying attention to those around her and knows what is best, and so makes the connection for them. But Naaman is quite proud. He pays attention to his own interest, and he wants to win favor. He wants it to be done his way. Have you ever prayed to God and said, would you, you know, bring me healing? And this is how you could do it, you know? Or I really need provision. And this would be a really great way to make that happen. Or I really need dot, dot, dot. Okay, we've all done it. We've all prescribed for ourselves the way we think that God should fix a problem. But it doesn't always work that way. God knows the best way for all things to be solved. So that's how we find Naaman and the servant girl. Now notice also that Elisha doesn't come out of the house. He doesn't even come out of the house to heal Naaman. Naaman thinks, you know, that his hand should be waved over him. He sends a servant himself, a messenger himself, to send him to the Jordan and be washed 7 times. It's through servants that we often find God's favor. It's through service, it's through humility. So what is humility? What really are we talking about? We've talked about this numerous times, but it's not really saying that we are worth nothing. It's not saying that we are worse than or that we are poor or bad. It's that we recognize who we are and where we are in life. It's that we recognize that we need God and a Savior. It's that we recognize that there are others outside of us that can help us. Pride is being self-centered in every way, feeling like we can create our own happiness, create the outcome that we want all in and of ourselves. So humility is reaching out. Another way to think about it is love. Where is your love focused? Is your love focused on others and paying attention to those around you, or is your love focused on yourself? Is your love recognizing that you need God to help you solve a problem, or is it feeling like you can solve it all on your own? Jessica tells a story in her Bible study about a man that had a stroke and is laying in his hospital bed. And although he's struggling with his health and wants healing, one of the greatest things he's struggling with in that moment is that there is a branch hanging over his garage at home. There's a branch hanging over his garage at home, and it's going to cause a problem. And it is stressing him out because it's not good for his house or his family, and he can't fix it. Have you ever been in that kind of place? And he doesn't want to call for help. He doesn't want to see what else can be done or if his son could go do it or someone else, but instead he feels like he needs to take care of it on his own. His wife said afterwards that if she could choose life before or after the stroke, if she could choose whether the stroke would happen or not, I know that's a terrible question to ask, but we ask it sometimes. She said she would choose the stroke because their marriage became so much more beautiful after that. There was a realization of life and care for one another, and the depth of their relationship grew. Now, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but the outcome for them was beautiful. I spent some time in the hospital this week with Rosa and her family, and again, beautiful demonstrations of humility. As we care for those that we love, we pay attention to what they want and what is best for them. I was in the midst of several conversations around decisions that needed to be made, and the family always chose whatever Rosa wants is what we're going to do. Whatever Rosa wants And in the same breath, Rosa is there saying, how are you? What are you doing? You know, what's going on with you? What's new? You know, in the same breath, she's paying attention to everyone around her. Humility. Putting others before yourself and making sure that you are seeking out for God's help in every breath and every decision that is made. Jesus tells a story in Luke about a wedding banquet. He tells a story about how we are to humble ourselves so that we can be exalted. Dylan did a great job opening up our service this morning and talking about humility. All throughout Scripture, just like he said, God talks about humility. And that God favors those who are humble. God favors those that are seeking him. God favors those that are reaching out to others. So let me read this story to you from Luke 14, starting in verse 7. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. Excuse me. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So even Jesus recognizes better than any of us what humility really is. God himself humbled himself. It says in Philippians 2, and he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. True humility is loving others, seeking their needs before our own. Jesus did it even to death, death on a cross. Are you willing to put others before you? In your love, will you allow your actions to serve those around you before you serve yourself? I remember, again, on our trip to Romania, Randy had a bum knee. And before we went, several months before, he was talking about his bum knee, and you might want to pray for my knee. And I was worried at one point whether the trip would happen because I knew he was really struggling to walk and to get around. But in Romania, he had arthritis and he had a surgery scheduled for when we returned. But while we were in Romania, you wouldn't even know he was in pain. Sure, he moved a little slow. Sure, he was a little extra careful. But never did he show his pain. Not once. It's hard for me to imagine because I'm a weakling. When I've got pain, I show it, I talk about it, I cry about it. Come on, like, I'm in pain. But the most beautiful thing was that he wanted everyone to have the experience of a lifetime. So he, you know, just stood up tall and he took us around. He made some choices so that, you know, he didn't overextend himself, but he made sure that everyone took care to do everything we needed to do. There are so many basic things we can do to love others, to be humble, and to choose others above ourselves. So will you love the other? Will you love God first? Because he certainly loves you. Even Naaman, the commander-in-chief, who knew the right answer and the way to get the answer, even Naaman, God sought out and found healing for. If you jump forward from where we ended our reading, the last two verses, there's the servants tell him, come on, dude. Basically, they say, come on, dude, just try it. Like, he gave you a prescription for healing. Dip in the Jordan. Why not? What do you have to hurt? What's going to hurt? So he dipped seven times, and verse 14 says that he was restored to that of a young boy. He was restored to that of a young boy. God brought healing for him. He was forced to humble himself, to dip in the river that he thought, surely there are better places. But he did it. And God showed him favor. God cared for him. He cares for every one of us. Will we humble ourselves before him and ask for help when we most need it? Would you pray with me? Most holy and merciful God, we thank you and praise your holy name for being God of all, creator of the universe, the one who humbles himself for us, even to death on a cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation of our souls, for the salvation of our spirits, for the salvation of our minds. Lord, thank you for setting us free where we are stuck. Lord, I pray a difficult prayer that you would awaken us to those places where we are focused on self-love, where we are focused on ourselves and fixing our own problems. Would you help us to reach out for help to you and to those around us? Would you help us, Lord, to share our love not only with ourselves, but those around us, those in our inner circle, those in the next circle, and those that we meet randomly on the street? Lord, whether it be at Gary's or Palisades, whether it be in Iowa City or Cedar Rapids, help us, Lord, to extend our love, your love, to those around us. Because it is through this practice that we truly come to know you. Strengthen us, we pray, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, through the power of your love. Help us to receive the love that you have granted to us in its full capacity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now we pray the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I invite our ushers forward for this morning's offering. So when you go from here, will you allow God's reckless love into your life, into every area that you may need help? Where you stop, will you allow God to begin? And beyond that, will you allow that love to pour through you to love those around you? Go in the great love of God, in the peace and hope and grace that he brings, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon podcast from the United Methodist Church of Mount Vernon, Iowa. For more of our podcast series and information on services, outreach, and Christian education, visit us online at www.umcmv.com. We hope you will continue listening to a portion of our ministry through these podcasts.